Good afternoon. My name is Adelia Huang. I'm a hearings officer. The time right now is 1:15 in the afternoon. It is February 27, 2018. This is case number 318008 regarding an appeal of a park exclusion. The appellant is Barbara Dodge. Is there a Ms. Dodge here? There is no one that has identified themselves as Ms. Dodge. I do see someone here on behalf of the city. Could you please identify yourself for the record?
Allison Davis.
And could you please spell your first name?
A-L-I-S-O-N.
Okay. And who do you work for?
I work for Portland Parks and Recreation.
And your title?
I'm a park ranger.
Thank you. So before we get into the substantive components of figuring out whether or not the exclusion that was issued to Ms. Dodge is valid or invalid, I just need to take a look at the file to see if any notice was provided to the appellant before today. So I am noting that Ms. Dodge did not indicate a mailing address when she filed her appeal hearing request form marked as Exhibit 1. I do see that a notice of hearing is included in the file as Exhibit 7, and it looks like this notice was CC'd to Barbara Dodge. However, it does also indicate that no address was given. I'd like to check in with the hearings clerk to see if there was any way that Ms. Dodge may have been apprised of today's hearing.
We've had no contact from the appellant. She was instructed to call this office to get the date and time of hearing, but we have no record of that contact.
Thank you. Okay, I do see that Ms. Dodge filed her appeal hearing request on February 1st. She did leave a telephone number that was a message number only. I do think it is reasonable to expect that since Ms. Dodge did file her request for an appeal hearing, that there and she was instructed by a clerk to give the hearings office a call to follow up, that there has been a reasonable opportunity for Ms. Dodge to determine and obtain today's date, time, and location of the hearing. So I am going to go ahead and find that we can go ahead and proceed with the hearing. Unfortunately, Ms. Dodge is not present. However, we will go ahead and proceed with evidence from the Parks and Recreation representative. And the first thing I want to do here is figure out what documents to admit into the record. I note that there was an issue with some of the documents that were submitted by Parks and Recreation. They've been marked as Exhibit 10. These documents were submitted or received by the hearings office on February 26th, yesterday at 1:49 p.m. The due date for receipt of these documents from the city was to be by February 15th. However, I am in receipt of a priority mail envelope, which indicates that this document was attempted to be shipped to my office, and it is correctly addressed to my office, and the date on this is postmarked February 13th. So reasonably, I think the city should have been able to expect that this discovery or these documents in Exhibit 10, there was a reasonable attempt to get these documents to the hearings office before the February 15th due date. So even though they came late, and it looks like they came late because of a mismailing issue or something not within my office's control, it does look like I am going to go ahead and admit these documents. Even though they're considered late, there is good reason for these to have been late. It looks like the city did its due diligence in attempting to get these documents in on time, but for some sort of postal error, they were not received until after the deadline. So I am going to go ahead and receive exhibits 1 through and including 10 into the record, and that does include the packet of information that was sent by priority mail from Parks and Recreation. And my focus today is determining whether all relevant laws and rules were followed with respect to this January 31st exclusion that was issued. I do see in the city's information that there was another exclusion issued to Ms. Dodge on February 2nd. Ms. Dodge did not file a request for a hearing on that exclusion, so today I'm solely going to be looking at only the January 31st exclusion. With that being the case, Ms. Davis, do you have any questions about how we're going to proceed today? Essentially, I'm going to take your testimony. If I have any questions, I will ask you, but now would be the time where you tell me why you believe whoever issued it, and look like you may have issued it, follow the correct laws and rules when issuing the exclusion. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Okay. So as you can see, on January 31st, I had previously talked to Barbara Dodge around 8 in the morning. Around that time, we were instructed to give all the individuals that were there warnings. They were all camping in an outdoor area called Big Four Corners. And during that communication, we explained to her the rules, how you can be camping in a natural area, you can't have a structure, and that we would be coming around later, and if they were still in that area, we would be issuing exclusions. And so I wrote her the warning, and then a few hours later, park rangers arrived, again, probably around 12:25, and Barbara Dodge was still camping in the same structure as she was earlier. She did admit that that was her camp, that she was staying in that one. So that's when I issued her an exclusion for camping, erecting a structure, as well as failure to obey a park officer for previously not listening to our warning for camping.
Okay. Anything further?
No.
Okay. I just have a couple of questions for you. What kind of a structure was she camping in, or had she erected?
It was a brand new tent. I know that they're in the pictures. It looks like a Coleman tent. Each individual had them. Hers, we knew which one was hers because she had other belongings of hers that had barb on it. And again, she admitted that that was the one that she was staying in. I think they were green and white, like a two-person tent.
Okay. Let me see here. So I did notice that there are a couple of pictures included with the incident report. Some of these look like they're dated February 2nd. So they would not be relevant to whether or not the January 31st exclusion is relevant. But I do see on page 3 of 5, towards the end, there looks like this... some of these are dated January 30th,
mm-hmm.
And I do see a tent. Are you on page 3 of 5?
I think ours probably aren't in the same order. I don't know.
Okay, let's see here. So the one I'm looking at has a tent, uh-huh. Around two perspectives of a tent on a wooden platform.
Oh, that was part of the special report that we submitted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yours look different. They look a little bit larger.
No, I was looking at the wrong one. I do have that one.
No worries. It says page 3 of 5 at the top right-hand corner. I'm not sure if there's another 3 of 5, but...
He's not coming in. Okay, I see it. They're not as good, but yes.
Okay, are these two pictures... the tent or the structure that Ms. Dodge had erected?
Not the bottom one, the top one.
Top, okay. And if we flip the page, these also look like they're from January 30th. Are these photographs of Ms. Dodge's tent?
Those ones are not. They all have the same tent, but no, those ones.
Okay.
Or not, Barb's.
So, let's see here. I've got some photographs that don't have dates or times on them, and I'm trying to figure out what they are, if they're relevant. So, what I'm looking at
is, there's a quite a few items on the ground strewn about. It's a full-size picture.
Yeah, so that one is, we have been in contact with Barb previous, numerous times before this, and this was her first tent that we had contacted her prior to January 31st.
When do you remember when this photograph was taken or about when that contact occurred?
I don't remember, no.
Okay. And the following picture, it's more items strewn about in the...
Again, that was her previous
tent
as well.
Do you know why these photographs were submitted for...
I think because... From my understanding, she was appealing the exclusion, and we just wanted, I guess, to have it be known that she had previously been contacted, so she knows the rules of Big Four Corners. I think that's why they were submitted.
Okay. And when you say previously contacted with respect to these photographs, was she also warned at that time?
Yes.
Was she issued a documented warning or verbal?
Both.
Okay. And then there's some more photographs. On the next page, if we're going in order, January 30th, this is also a photograph. I don't know. Is this also a photo of Ms. Dodge's tent?
That is Barb's tent, yes.
Okay. Okay, and then the very last photo. It looks like this is possibly... Ms. Dodge's tent, it's, I don't know, if can you confirm that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So just to cover the bases here, is Big Four Corners a, since it's not a traditional city park, how would you, you described it as a natural area?
Correct.
Is it publicly owned? Or City of Portland property?
City of Portland owns it.
Okay. And then the Parks and Recreation, I take it, administers, has jurisdiction to govern that area?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like me to know before I make a decision?
I don't think so.
I just want to confirm, I noticed on the exclusion that it says that this is the 30-day exclusion, which tells me that there haven't been any other prior exclusions to warrant upping the length of the exclusion to either 90 or 100 days.
Correct. From we going into the Village of Hope campsite, we were instructed to do the full, start with the warning, and then go to the 30-day exclusion, despite if she had previously been warned or excluded. Just because the Village of Hope was kind of a new circumstance for us.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Mm-hmm. Okay, just one moment. I'm taking a look at the law here to make sure I don't have any other questions before I go forward and issue a decision. So just one moment. Can we pause the record? Okay, one thing, the last question I believe I have for you, Ms. Davis, is it does look like that you had mentioned that earlier in the morning, the warning you had issued Ms. Dodge, the warning for camping, erecting a structure and failure to obey a park officer. And it looks like that warning, it has a time of 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at the time of 12:25 p.m. on the time of the exclusion.
Do you think that was a reasonable amount of time for Ms. Dodge to have complied with a warning?
Yes.
Did she make any effort to do so, as far as you can tell?
No.
Okay. Okay. Based upon the testimony that I heard from Ms. Davis, the evidence in the record, I am going to sustain the notice of exclusion, which is dated January 31st, 2018. It does look like all of the relevant laws and rules have been followed as it relates to the demonstration of a violation of City Code 14A50020 for camping, erecting a structure of in violation of City Code 2012-080 and failure to obey a park officer 2012-240. And there is substantial evidence that a warning was properly issued for each of these bases of the exclusion. And so it does, I am finding that the exclusion is valid. Therefore, it looks like Ms. Dodge served, quote unquote, one day of the exclusion period because she was excluded on the 31st of January, and then she filed her appeal here with the hearings office on February 1st. And so because this is a 30-day exclusion, I am finding that the remainder of remaining number of days for the exclusion shall be 29 days. And the 29 days will start from, I'll set out a time period in my order, which should give her some time to investigate what happened here and to set out what the 29th day would be for that deadline. So I believe that's it. I'm going to close the hearing, and thank you very much for taking the time
to
be here.
Thank you.